Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling the radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
I guess he's not coming. Well, it's going to be a long show, folks. Greg the Dive Master not here today. He just was introduced. Clearly, they said, here's Greg the Dive Master. But no. No, Greg is not here today. I am, what am I called on this show? Bill the Producer. Bill the Producer on this show. No Greg today. So I am here, and I have brought with me what I went out and did. During the course of the past week, as I decided to find as diverse an array of male voices for today's program. Because the thing is, you get a group of guys together, they all kind of sound alike, unless you get these five guys together. Because they do not sound alike. We have with us first Single Scott from singlescott.com. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Now, Scott is here today because when you talk about diving, and you talk about people that actually get to dive, everybody in the dive industry wishes they were Single Scott. And all right, now Pete's actually in the dive industry, and he's saying, not me.
Maybe not.
But now, I don't know how much you know about Single Scott. Single Scott, how many liveaboard dive trips have you gone on in the last, I'm going to just say, 5 years?
Oh, 15.
15 liveaboard dive trips in 5 years, not too shabby. How many days a year do you think you get to dive, Scott?
Oh, I dive at least 100 days a year.
Now, most of us on this show get to dive 100 minutes a year, give or take. Got about 100 minutes of bottom time, with the exception of Pete, because Pete is Pete Murray, a net doc from scubaboard.com, and he is the exception to the rule. Pete is with us because, unlike everybody else in the dive industry, he gets to dive.
That's what I do for a living.
And he's going to be talking with us today about some really cool new dive equipment, which he is literally tying himself in knots over.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay, well.
That was my joke, actually. You stole it.
Sorry. I didn't realize that.
He'll do that.
Okay, well, yes.
You should be flexible.
You should indeed. And we're going to talk about that and why that's important. And we'll try and get the puzzled faces off of the balance of the panel today because none of them have any idea why, because the prop for your joke is actually in front of me, not in front of you. And they're all looking over there. What's he talking about?
That's not
they
a prop. That was the other joke. That's a hose.
I'm with you. Also with us, we have Bob DiPalato, my buddy Bob, a former diver who is here to act as a support on the radio side. Bob, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Actually, I was told I was here to laugh at your jokes.
Well, there is that. That's support on the radio side.
See,
you can't count on Scott or Pete doing any laughing. That's not going to happen anytime soon.
But unfortunately, you haven't said anything funny in about 10 years.
thank you, Bob.
Ooh! Wow.
And the laugh you hear in the background is CJ. Of course, CJ, one of the first dive students for Greg the Dive Master, and actually one of the first dive students to complete the program, because my son was the first dive student, but bailed on the mask flooding. We'll talk about that later.
Was he the only diver so far to survive Greg's training techniques?
Well, I was going to say, amazingly, I'm still around.
There is that. We'll talk a little bit, perhaps, if time allows, about exactly the extent that Greg will go to damage his dive students.
That's been well documented, hasn't it?
Well documented, indeed. We'll talk about that later on today. And if you want to join us, feel free to call. Now, I'm not sure. We got the five of us here. We got a lot of things we want to talk about. We're also going to be joined by Jeff Turode from South Florida Diving Headquarters talking about the newest wreck in Broward County, which is apparently simply littered with sunken boats. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk with Simon Walsh from the Dominica Dive Festival. We got a lot of other things on board for today's program. So stay tuned, keep listening. But if you want to be a part of it, it is easy to join. 888-88-SCUBA. 888-88-SCUBA. SCUBA, by the way, not an acronym. Just throwing that out there. Well, an acronym spells a word. Just an abbreviation. Just saying.
That's over our head.
Yeah, sorry. That's good for one person.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. I'm sorry. Okay. Are we good?
We're good.
Support.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Well, let's start off by talking about one of the coolest things that I've heard from Pete in a while. And I hear a lot of cool things from Pete.
Pete's always diving?
Pete is always diving somewhere, doing something cool. But the most recent thing I find remarkable. He was at the Red Bull depth charge.
No. I wasn't at the Red Bull
depth charge. Oh, you weren't there. Okay. You were not there.
I showed you the mine by showing you Red Bull depth charge. I was at the treasure hunt in Bonterra Mines where they gave away $30,000 worth of trips, prizes, you name it.
It just got cooler. It just got cooler. Well, first of all, let me tell you how you can find out information about this. Go to scubaboard.com. Do a search for Bonterre Mines, Bonnetterre, two words, folks, good earth en français.
Now the thing about Bonterre, I found someone who looks so much like you, Bill, it's scary, and his humor is the same way.
Oh, no.
It is. and the other thing is, he's a huge
fan of the Boston
Scuba Radio fan.
No way.
Way. Now, I know there's only two of them out there, but this is the one, and he lives in Missouri. Okay?
Son
and this
gun.
Is a shout-out to Nate, spelled with two Z's. We found that out.
Nate?
With two Z's. Both of them silent, apparently.
Apparently.
And not next to each other.
Well, Nate with two Z's, have a great day from Scuba Radio.
He actually works there at the Bonterre. He's one of the guides that helps you negotiate the mine without dying.
All right, now here's the thing. We talked in the World of Boating show today, and if you want to check that out, go to worldofboating.com, catch the podcast, do something. You know, it's not like you got nothing to do with your time. Concentrate your efforts, listen to Scuba Radio, then later on, listen to the World of Boating.
Do it during work. That's the best.
That's the best way to make use of your time. On that show, we talked about the Depth Charge Wakeboarding Challenge, where they use ski-doos, jet skis, personal watercraft to tow around wakeboarders in a lake that is 400 feet deep.
200 foot under the ground.
200 feet under the ground.
17 miles big.
It's a big lake, and it's got columns in it, which is my favorite part.
Would that be a cavern?
It would be a cavern if it was empty, I think.
I think you have to sing about it. In a cavern, in a
canyon.
Excavating for a mine.
Yes,
you know,
I think that's
something
it.
Like that.
Nice singing all the way around. We're moving forward.
Was there a guy in a bat suit there?
No, Bill right. wasn't there.
All right, now, but my doppelganger was. So, you went after the Depth Charge Wakeboarding Challenge for the treasure hunt.
This is correct. They spread a bunch of poker chips all over the floor in select areas, and they gave each of the participants, and there was like 130 participants, each of the participants got to go and find these little poker chips. And a blue poker chip was so much, a black poker chip was the hardest to find, so you got 500.
Now, how deep is the water you were diving in? Because we know it gets down to 400 feet, but I'm assuming you were not diving at 400 feet looking for poker chips.
We kept them above 350, I promise. Okay. Now, the search areas were like between 20 and 40 foot deep. So they had lots of bottom time that they could look for. They only had a certain amount of time they could do it. But then they went that night and actually auctioned off the prizes using the poker chips.
This is Single Scott. Were you there? This is right up your alley, man, because we know how Scott's such a depth whore. Remember, every dive I've ever been on with Scott, he's, you know, deeper than anyone else.
I was looking for the depth charges.
I'm saying, man, you could have won some money.
If you go out diving with Scott, this is what will happen. He'll go by himself on the boat, because he doesn't dive with anybody else, because his dive will probably last about 9 minutes.
Hence the name Single Scott.
because he's going to go as deep as he can on the dive. He's going to get all the bottom time he can at that depth. Then he's going to be back. He spends, three quarters of your dive at the safety stop. So that's nice. That's always fun.
Especially at the end of the week when, yeah.
Scott, do you have fun diving?
I do.
He loves divers.
Here's Scott after every dive when you see him later on the boat. What took you so long?
All right, I've got so many questions about this mine.
Here's the neat thing about the mine. In 1960, they turned off the lights, they turned off the pumps, and the place flooded. All the tools, the steam engines, the ore carts, the gloves, the hats, the dynamite, the packing for the dynamite, all the stuff
this
that the miners
so
wrote
safe.
On the wall. But, hey, it's underwater. It's not going to blow up,
That's
dude.
That's a good point.
But all this stuff is just like a snapshot of what it was like back then when they mined. It's just amazing.
So they just vacated after 100 years of mining.
And shut the lights off.
They blew the whistle. Everybody left, and they said, that's enough. And they turned off the lights.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure about the whistle.
Okay. All right, now, what's the water like in there? I mean, clear?
It's wet.
Thank you very much.
What temperature?
The visibility is pretty good. The temperature is a little cold, 54 degrees. Dry suit. Definitely dry suit.
What?
And my dry suit had issues. Brand new dry suit. We haven't quite got my 22-inch neck to seal. And so we're still working on that. But it was absolutely an amazing, amazing dive. They've got 500,000 lumens of light in there. So
wow. You
don't even need the lights when you go in there. You can actually, and it's panoramic. You come into these huge vistas. You know, the guides will close off their lights, and you see the silhouettes of everything in there. It's just phenomenal. What a neat place.
And it's really for diving, for seeing this structure underwater. I mean, that's really what the diving's about. It's not about fish. It's not about...
They only have one fish, Bill.
Okay.
And they had to bring it down.
Right, okay.
I have a question.
Okay.
Do you have to be cave certified to do this,
no,
or can an open water diver do this?
No, it's a 17-mile lake. You're open water diving.
It's a lake dive, but with a roof.
Okay, I thought...
You can surface and breathe air all you want.
I thought it was underwater. I mean, I thought it was underground.
Well, you have to be underwater.
Well, I meant underground.
It is. It's underground. You go down 200 feet to get to the water level. The water gets down to 400 feet, but it's got a 100-foot ceiling
above the lake.
Oh, okay.
So you can actually put your head up and breathe without worrying about bumping your head, okay? I promise.
Oh, that sounds phenomenal.
No, it's just absolutely cool. They've got a little wooden dock. You get there, you get to see all the stuff they did.
And where is this?
Right about an hour out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
And it's in Missouri?
It's in Missouri. Just ask Nate with 2 Z's where it's at, and he'll show you where that mine is.
So here's what you do. First, you go to scubaradio.com. You find my picture. Then you start wandering around Missouri looking for a guy who looks like me. And then ask him where to get to Bon Terre Mines.
That can be scary by itself.
Yes, it can, because he might answer you. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Naked Scuba Boy will not be diving at Bon Terre Mines. Naked Scuba Boy is not going to be able to make the 54 degree water temperature. I don't see Naked Scuba Boy making that.
Well, he doesn't have a wetsuit.
Naked Scuba Eunuch.
You know what? I think 55 degree water, swimming naked in it, that will shrivel up so far as to be deep inside of you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Well, you didn't go anywhere. You stayed where you were. We left. We have come back. This is a Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am a Bill, the producer, filling in for the vacationing Greg, the dive master. Greg is with his family.
Somalia?
No, domestic.
Like
domestic.
He doesn't travel enough.
Exactly. But this time he took his family, which means that it's in no way noteworthy. If you see him in an airport, do Greg an enormous favor. Do not ask him where the mermaids are. Apparently, that does not go well. That does not sit well with Mrs. the Dive Master. To be asked about Brazilian swimsuit models, mermaids, or any of his other normal traveling companions, just say, oh, hey, aren't you Greg from Scuba Radio? And just say that.
Aren't you Greg the family man?
But he's doing nothing exciting this week, so he's not checking in. So instead, we are left to our own devices. Single Scott is here from singlescott.com. Pete Murray, NetDoc from scubaboard.com is here. Bob DiPilato from...
DiPilato.com.
Actually, if you go to Facebook and type in Bob DiPilato, you will find Bob DiPilato. If you know how to spell his name...
good luck with that.
Happy Christopher Columbus Day to you. And also... CJ is with us, CJ of the I Survived Greg Holtz Diver Training.com.
And all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Yeah.
A Scuba Radio t-shirt.
All right, but also on the phone with us, it is Greg's, of course, I don't know if he's been able to survive all of the introductions today. It is Jeff Terode from South Florida Diving Headquarters. Many of us have dove with Jeff down there at South Florida Diving Headquarters. Jeff, how are you today?
Hey, good, guys. How do you take a vacation from a vacation is what I'd like to know.
That is a great question. How would he know if
Greg
he was on vacation?
Greg is the only one that I know that could possibly do that.
You know, here's the thing. If you have to wear shoes 3 days in a row, then he's well, no, that wouldn't be a vacation, would it? No, that would be like work.
Jeff,
he's never done it.
I want you to know that I am dedicated, so dedicated to scuba, that I never take a vacation either. I am hard at work diving around the world for you.
You sound like Greg.
What we want to talk about today, though, is another great wreck site down there in Broward County. It is the Miss Lourdes.
Is this the one Greg was diving?
Yes, it's our newest femme de file of our wrecks out here. We've got, if you know anything about our artificial reef program, it's the largest in the state of Florida and probably in the United States. We have over 100 artificial reefs, and a lot of those, 50 to 60 of them, are shipwrecks. And they range anywhere from, you know, 300 feet down to 30 feet.
Actually, I did
just sunk another one.
I did a little research on this. When you mentioned that it might be the largest artificial reef program in the United States, I actually did some research. There's a section off of New Jersey, which is larger, but that's only in 5.5 to 6 foot increments. And it's got something to do with concrete shoes, and I'm not sure I entirely understand the story, but that's the only larger artificial reef project in the United States there off of New Jersey.
And they cheated.
Yeah.
they didn't use ships.
No, they did not use ships. They are artificial, but not ships.
But the great thing is that, you know, there are a lot of great ships in the state of Florida. You have, you know, the most recent down off the Florida Keys, and you have the Oriskany and Spiegel Grove, but you have a diversity here. There's just a number of wrecks to dive, and they're all, you know, within sport dive. Most of them are within sport diving limit. And the most recent one, the Miss Lourdes, is exactly like one of the other ones that we've already sunk, the RSB-1. But we put her up in the northern part of the county to give it to give that end of the county a little bit more structure as far as wrecks go. And it's right around the Sea Emperor area where I know you're familiar with, Bill.
So Jeff, when did you sink the Diversity?
No, that's not
oh,
what
man. The Diversity...
That's
a cold joke, man.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to get a phone call after that. Thanks a lot.
I will say this, though. I love diving with South Florida Diving Headquarters. If you go to southfloridadiving.com, one of the things I love about it, if you go to their website, you see all the wreck dives. There are just so many wreck dives down there. Jeff, if you're going to hold on for me 1 minute, we want to talk a little bit more about wreck diving down there in Broward County when we come back from the shortest break of the hour right here on Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now call collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to DesignatedSports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No project's too big or too small. That's DesignatedSports.com.
Billy, we're sorry. We're sorry, Billy. We know you're under pressure. We know that things are terrible.
Actually,
now that
he's not under pressure anymore.
Well, there's going to be some financial pressure, probably, but we'll see how that pans out. Billy Joel,
another
unfortunately.
Tour.
Yes.
Like a shipwreck, he's starting to break up.
Yes. Oh, dear. There's more than one of me on this program today. Thank Pete for filling in the gap on the puns.
Okay, so I'm supposed to laugh after everything he says, too? I didn't get that memo.
We are on the phone here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. It is Scuba Radio, and on the phone from South Florida diving headquarters, none other than the incomparable Jeff Terode. And, Jeff, we're talking about Broward County's artificial reef program, and during the break, CJ looked at me as if I had sprouted some sort of spare number of heads, because he said, did you really say 60 boats? Are there 60
yes.
boats involved in this program down there?
What's that?
How many boats are in the water down there in that Broward County program?
Exactly, I can't give you a figure right now because they've put down a couple more in the last couple years, but there are approximately around 50 to 60 shipwrecks, and they have over 100 artificial reefs in total, including the shipwrecks and other structures that they put down. So it's a phenomenal place to come down and do some wreck diving if you're interested in doing wreck diving. And with the most recent one, the Miss Laundries, that we just sunk a couple weekends ago, we've got them, like I said, anywhere from 330 to 30 feet. If you want to snorkel one, we've got one for you there, too.
Okay, I had a question for you. As a concerned citizen, can I add to the reef on my own?
Well, that's a no-no. You have to have a permit in order to be able to sink anything in the ocean nowadays.
Because,
and there's a whole artificial reef doctrine
now,
that you
what
have
if,
to
what if he doesn't
you
do
have
it
to
on
meet all the different criteria, and it has to be approved
what
by
if I don't
the state
do it
of
on
Florida,
purpose?
DEP, and everybody else. So
what if it's
so,
by,
so
what
easy
if,
to do.
What if it's by accident?
Yeah.
He just accidentally left Greg in charge of the boat.
Right. I mean, and we've just, like, added to the reef. Don't look at it as like we sunk the boat. Look at it as we've saved the ocean.
Well, depending on where it goes down, you could actually get fined if it's anywhere
well,
near
Well, Greg's
coral,
driving the boat, so I ain't getting
grounding,
fined.
Just like a ship grounding or anything else. So,
all right, hold on 1 second for us, Jeff. We're going to come right back from This Is No Break at All.
Greg, the dive master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
We are back. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Bill, the producer, filling in for Greg, the dive master, who has decided to take a boring vacation, so decided not to tell us about it. Oh, well.
Is he going to call in?
No, he's not. No, he will not be hearing from Greg.
I get paid by the laugh.
with us on the phone is Jeff Terode from South Florida Diving Headquarters. Jeff, we've been talking about the wreck dives down there in Broward County, and there's a lot of dives that are listed on your website. down there, SouthFloridaDiving.com, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we can't even get to all of them. There's so many. I mean, the Broward County coastline's 23 miles. And some of the wrecks, obviously, are not within sport diving limit. Some are, some aren't. So we can't get to them all. We posted as many as we could on there. We actually have a new website coming out that incorporates the LADS data and actually places the wrecks and all the on the LADS maps where you can see actually how they're adjacent to the reef. We'll be launching that hopefully in the next couple of weeks, which is a very interesting concept that we've come up with, and we actually incorporated all the photographs before the wreck sunk as it was when it was a viable ship, and then photographs as it is underwater, and give you some brief history about each one of the wrecks.
By coincidence, three-quarters of them have Greg waving on deck in the picture before, before it was a sunken ship.
Captain Greg.
All right, now, we got a quick question for you, because just this, was it this past week, Pete, that you were up there?
It was Monday a week ago.
Monday a week ago. He's up in the state capitol signing the dive flag. Well, he didn't sign it.
I didn't sign it.
What difference would it make if NetDoc from Scuba Board signed it? But he signed the dive flag awareness legislation, making next week, the last full week of June, through the first week of July, Dive Flag Awareness Week. And do you have a lot of problem with that down there in Broward County, people not being aware of what they're supposed to do?
It's definitely an issue. It always has been, and it stems from education, obviously. But a lot of boaters, you know, that decide that to get into boating and don't take a boating course or any kind of education, they have no idea what it is. And that creates a problem. Visibility creates a problem sometimes when we have foul weather. But we actually worked with FWC last year when they initiated this originally. They came out on the boat and they used a radar gun, much like what they use in on the street to catch you speeding. And then we did some trials with it to see how close boats were coming to the flags. It had a distance ratio thing on it, and it would be able to tell them how close they were to the dive flags. And they definitely saw some problems that we see every day. So I think this is stemming back from some of that, some of those trials that we did last year.
And you know what? I don't want to say that the blame falls entirely with the boat operators, because, you're within 300 feet of that dive flag, they're supposed to stop operating under power if they're going to be within 300 feet. But a lot of divers don't know the proper way to display a dive flag, too.
Or the size of the dive flag, and if it's not maintained, if it's hanging over, or, you know, there are a number of different things that can go wrong
or
with a flag float assembly.
Or, you know, not a professional dive operation wouldn't do this, but maybe some guy who dives off the back of his boat, you know, just leaves that dive flag up when he's coming back into the pier, and it leads to a lot of confusion.
Yeah, and that's illegal, too, now, as well. You're not allowed to fly the flag other than when you have a diver participating in the water. So that they can ticket you for that as well.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 22. To avoid stinging pain that leaves a nasty welt, never under any circumstances ever, ever ask a female dive buddy if she'd like to hold your safety sausage.
Get on top, honey.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, it means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio, we have Jeff Myers, the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. What's up, Jeff?
Not much, Greg. Feeling pretty mellow, actually.
You say that like it's unusual.
Nope. Just a moment of panic on the way down here this time.
Why?
Well, I got to the airport to fly down and thought I'd left my wallet at home.
Yep, that would make me panic, too. What'd you do?
Same thing I always tell divers to do. I stopped, got myself under control, thought through the situation, and realized I'd simply put my wallet in another pocket.
Way to deal with it. This sounds like a great topic for us to discuss.
What would you like to know?
Well, first, what is panic?
Well, panic is a sudden, overwhelming, intense reaction to a perceived threat or stressor. And I say perceived because panic doesn't necessarily have to be caused by something real. It only needs to appear real or be believed to be real.
Like believing every shark is going to eat you, right?
Right. They're almost always going to leave you alone. But if you've convinced yourself they're a constant and immediate danger, you might just panic when you see one, even when there's no actual threat.
But you can see how someone might get scared.
Sure. But fear and panic are two totally different animals. Fear and even anxiety can be both healthy and helpful. They produce adrenaline and make us more alert to danger, and that can assist in finding solutions to problems. Panic, on the other hand, goes beyond anxiety into the realm of irrational thought and full-blown terror. These are not helpful and actually can contribute to the inappropriate or harmful choices you see panic people make, if they react at all.
That explains why panic divers are sometimes unresponsive.
Yeah, panic tends to turn a person's focus inward to the point that the perceptual narrowing we learned about in our dive training becomes a reality. The focus is zeroed in on one particular element of the problem instead of the whole scenario, which really impedes a person's ability to deal with it.
So what causes panic?
It begins with stressors and fear and escalates from there. It could be fear of the unknown, an imagined threat, the inability to deal with problems. The list is pretty long of what a person really fears. But as far as divers go, there are common stressors that tend to trigger the response that leads to full-blown panic.
Like what?
Fear of exceeding dive profiles and what might happen if you do is one. Task loading is another.
Environmental factors are a big one.
Absolutely. Fear of equipment failure is another, and just plain being out of your comfort zone, whether from peer pressure or your own choices, is probably the most common of all.
So telling people not to panic is easier said than done. Well, how do you really deal with it?
Well, the best way to deal with it is to try and avoid it in the first place. If you have a fear about something, like sharks eating you, talk to someone about it. Often hearing from others with experience can allay your fears and put your mind at ease. If you worry about your equipment failing, make sure you get it serviced and maintain it properly. Stay within your comfort zone. Don't go beyond your training and experience, and keep within your limits. If you're learning something new, take your time. Staying comfortable goes a long way in avoiding panic.
And take care of yourself. If you're not feeling up for the dive, mentally or physically, just don't do it.
Excellent advice.
So if you're unable to avoid it?
Before you get to full-blown panic, you'll go through initial fear and anxiety. When you feel that coming on, stop. If you do nothing else, stop. Doing that will give you a chance to think. If you find you're having trouble thinking clearly, just breathe. Focus on your breathing and remind yourself that it means you're okay. The key is to try and retain some level of calm, because if you can do that, you'll be in a better position to find a solution to the problem.
And of course, once you find that solution, act on it.
Yep. Get yourself to the surface and inflate your BCD. Drop your weights if you have to, and signal for help if you need it. But above all, keep breathing as normally as possible, and try to stay relaxed.
What if it's your buddy who panics?
First, do your best not to join in. Second, don't do anything that will put you at risk.
Especially since they may not even realize you're trying to help them, right?
Right. If you have to approach, do so in a way that avoids flailing arms and legs. And if you're able to help alleviate a problem, like disentangling the diver or inflating their BCD, do it. Do what you can to help. But again, don't put yourself at risk.
Is there any way to be sure you avoid panic?
There are always ways to reduce the chances. We've talked about some of them here. But it's important to remember that no one's immune to panic, and there's no guaranteed way to avoid it. If you can identify fear factors, you can take steps to try and reduce the impact on you. But even the most seasoned divers who have supposedly seen it all can panic. And it can be for a variety of reasons. Disorientation, nitrogen narcosis, another problem he's unable to communicate. You just can't know. The best you can do is avoid what you know to be problematic. Try and recognize impending panic and deal with it while it's still anxiety. And maintain a level of coherency that will allow you to deal with the problem.
Comfort is the key, eh?
To so many things.
Some are more prone to panic than others, but no one's immune to panic. So be aware and be prepared. Know yourself and what makes you anxious, and do what you can to become comfortable with the situation. Stay within your comfort zone, and if you feel your anxiety start to rise, do your best to stay calm and in control. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That
was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Just before the Dan tip, we were talking with Jeff Tarode from South Florida Diving Headquarters. Check out his website, southfloridadiving.com. And we were talking about the Dive Flag Awareness Week. Pete, a couple of things you wanted to make sure that got out there so that our audience was aware of them. Because a lot of times we're pointing the finger and we're saying, boaters, 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 but it's not just boaters.
No, no, actually, according to the FWC, Florida Wildlife Commission, the most ticketed group are people actually going out diving, people with tanks on their board. We're not talking about not having a flag, but by violating flag limits by driving too close to the flag.
The limits are 300 feet under power. You can't be within 300 feet under power.
That's correct.
Of a boat flying a dive flag, and as a diver, you've got an obligation too.
Yeah, you have to stay within 100 feet. That gives you a 200 foot buffer for people not hitting you.
Which would be good, right? Not getting hit by the boat is good.
I think so.
That's been my feeling. All right. So
the other thing I was going to bring out is that this week is going to be time where they're going to be putting up ticketing. I mean, it's an educational week for sure, and they're going to spend a few days educating. But then after that, you know, the gloves are off. They're going to be writing tickets. They're going to be aggressively writing tickets. They're going to be parking boats 300 feet away from each other, two dive boats, and seeing who passes in between the two of them under power. They're going to be doing everything they can to make sure the boating public and the diving public knows about dive flags.
There's going to be a lot of education on the piers and the marinas before you go out. Pay attention. Make sure you understand the rules. We'll be right back with more of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Okay, I want to say, when I am in the States, I listen to Scuba Radio, the first radio devoted to diving.
Of course that's what you say. Wouldn't everyone say that? This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving, and I am Bill the Producer. Filling in for Greg. Greg is on vacation. Now,
doing a fine job indeed.
Now, let me ask you this question. Pete is here. He is NetDoc on scubaboard.com. You are completely immersed in the dive industry.
Hey, I get paid. I get paid. I laugh.
All right. Do you ever not do your scuba board duties because you're on some sort of dive-related vacation or dive-related... You don't have vacations because it's all work for you.
I never take a vacation. I work every single day. I'm either diving and or, you know, telling people how to dive for a living. You know what I mean? It's work, work, work.
Work, work, work. Work, work, work. Where are you headed next?
I am headed next to invade the Keys.
Of course, the Conch Republic, watch out.
That's right, and actually we'll be diving off the Conch Republic, and that's going to be in the second weekend of July. It'll be fun, absolutely great.
All right. And you have any particular sites, any particular dive operations you know you're diving with, or are you just getting on a boat and jumping out?
Public divers. We're diving with Silent World. We're diving with Captain Slate's Atlantis Adventures and, I believe, Ocean Divers. So we're taking over dive boats on all those. We're taking over.
Is this a scuba board trip?
Oh, yeah. This is the main scuba board trip.
Is there still room?
There is plenty of room. We got a large reef out there called the Keys, and we have ways of getting you out to it. You'll have lots of fun. We still got a few rooms open. It'll be great.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Keys?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yes. What you want to do is you want to go to scubaboard.com.
That's correct.
Scubaboard.com. Do a search for Naked Pictures of Net Doc.
That's B-O-A-R-D, not B-O-R-E-D, like you're here.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
That one doesn't count. That wasn't my joke. also with us, of course, is Single Scott. Go to singlescott.com. Scott, what's your next trip?
I'm off to Dominica.
It turns out we're going to talk about Dominica in the next hour.
Wow,
in the,
how convenient is that?
How convenient is that indeed?
We got another hour of this?
Yes, we do. We're going to be talking next with Simon Walsh about the Dominica Dive Fest. That's coming up in hour number two. And we're also talking about the coolest new piece of technology that will literally get you tied up in knots. That's coming up on hour number two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Each little snail here, know how to whale here. That's why it's hot, 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 hot,
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.